Friends, welcome to NFL Schwitz, our Thursday morning episode dedicated solely to NFL football. Today I'm joined by Victor at VWeb, and unfortunately Jack, our other co-host, is somewhere in Morocco. God bless him. Thank God we have a fantastic fill-in, my brother-in-law Zach Shapiro at HereZach.com, I believe is his Instagram handle. And today we're going to be talking headlines, predictions, week one matchups, everything you need to know for your fantasy season, your football season, your betting season, everything you need to know, you're going to get from this show. Boys, let's dive in with the first headline. Ezekiel Elliott finally came back from, I think it was Cabo, signed a six-year, $90 million extension. Holy smokes. I know that both of you took a risk on him in fantasy. Shapiro, I'll start with you. How happy are you that this deal is finally inked so that your fantasy team doesn't go straight down the tubes?
First of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy
Victor.
New Year.
It's a big day. Big week. I'm very excited. As far as he goes, couldn't be happier. I took a huge risk on him in fantasy. Been doing a leagues with for the last 18 years with my buddies from home since we were literally 12. Before I was bar mitzvahed, before I had hair on my pencil, we were in this fantasy league. And I am personally, as a Giant fan, upset Zeke is back. As a fantasy owner, thrilled. Obviously, everybody knows fantasy comes first. The deal was absolutely ridiculous. I have no idea what the fuck took so long. But I am thrilled he is back. He is ready to rock. And I think Dallas is going to be a problem this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's problems. I guess we'll put it lightly. I wasn't as worried. It's funny because I took him in two leagues, in leagues that I co-own teams with. So obviously you have a debate with someone like, should we do this, should we not? One of the leagues took him at four, which is apparently his value now, even though I think he's one. And in another league, he actually fell to six overall.
Wow.
And it was like, well, we got to take him now. And if he plays, he plays. And we, I mean, he keeps saying he's going to play. And there was one time, I think, on the show I said he's definitely going to play. And then all of a sudden I was doubting it. But he got it done. He flew back commercial, by the way, not a private. A lot of people taking pictures
before the deal.
A lot of people taking pictures on Twitter. His beard is crazy.
Yeah, that's why he came back. He got the
Alvin Kamara bowl ring piercing in his nose now, and he has like another little stud ring going on.
He looks like an extra from the longest yard right now. He looks bananas,
and he looks completely different than when he came out as a little scrappy kid from Ohio State like 2 years ago.
It's like that scene in Entourage where Vinny Chase goes, he doesn't want to do movies anymore, goes to a beach, grows a beard, loses all of his money, finds himself, and all of a sudden is Aquaman. Is that what it is? Whatever it is.
That was after Medellin, absolute.
Before Gatsby.
There you go. Whatever. Zeke finally found himself. God bless. Jerry Jones, honestly, you lost. You lost this game. Well, he's now the highest paid running back in the NFL. Your stalemate didn't really do anything.
Yep.
And look, I don't know. I'm still flabbergasted that Jacoby Brissett makes $15 million a year and Ezekiel Elliott makes $15 million a year. And I know that this is the quarterback running back debate. Quarterbacks are always going to be more valuable. But I'm so happy that Zeke got paid. He really deserves it. Second best running back in the league, in my opinion, behind the Giants, Saquon Barkley, because he's an absolute freak. And I think that this is going to be a great year for the Dallas Cowboys.
You know who got fucked in all this? The Giants.
Yes.
When Saquon, I'm a huge Giant fan. I've been a Giant fan forever. Used to have season tickets, the whole nine. When Saquon got drafted, I said, we have him for 5 years because the Giants are not an organization that's going to pay a running back $100 million. And I knew at that point the running back market was going to extend into about $100 million. Zeke's at 90 and we're 4 years away from a Saquon contract. Giants are fucked. Saquon is clearly gone. We should basically say thank you for your time already and just wish him well.
I don't think they're that screwed, especially after the whole Odell situation. Granted, Odell was just a head case. That wasn't as much money as it was, even though they did give him the money, which is the funny part about the whole Odell situation. But, I mean, Zeke, he wanted this. He's been saying it. You know, the comparison was obviously the standard was set by Todd Gurley. It was the 4 years, I think $57.5 million, which put him at 14 and change a year. The biggest part here is that it's not just 6 years, 90, 50 of it is guaranteed.
Yep.
And apparently that was sort of the final structure of the deal that they were doing late at night, early into the morning. Zeke himself went to bed and said, I thought this was dead. Got a call at 6 a.m. I mean, I woke up at 7 a.m. for work. And I just got like eight like Twitter notifications like it's done. They're signing it. It happened. Apparently it was like the structure and how many year, like how much money you could be paid per year. And this something like Jerry Jones has done before, like apparently with the new collective bargaining agreement. You can only be paid. You can only be paid more per year with an extension. You know, that's where they have numbers, guys. And I'm just gonna stop trying to be an accountant here.
You sure.
The point is that it's tough to get it done.
Just so you guys know, Victor's currently doing algorithm right on his notepad right in front of him. He has it all structured out. Extend him. Extend him. Extend him.
It's deep calculus.
But quickly, I would like to mention, because you were talking about how the Giants are very dysfunctional. I mean, Odell Beckham is very dysfunctional. I'd like to talk about one dysfunctional person. Did you guys see what Antonio Brown said on Instagram stories today? Did you see it, or should I read it? I'll read it. He was fined $56,000 because he missed a couple of things. Whatever, players miss practices all the time. He took a picture of the notice, added the Raiders, tagged them, and said, "When your own team want the hate, but there's no stopping me now. Devil is a lie. Everyone got to pay this year, just so we clear." My quick question to the group is Antonio Brown, does he belong in a mental institution? Victor, to you.
I don't know what he's doing. Quite frankly, I don't really care. Everybody knows he's the best receiver. I think we're coming on 7 straight seasons with 100 catches. If he wants to do this, so be it. I guess John Gruden will give him some kind of talking to, but other than that, I don't really care. This Zeke news has me just so buzzed, but, you know, Antonio Brown's got to get his act together. Apparently, I guess they're fine. I don't know. He made it through camp. He's wearing the helmet. He's going to play. They're the second of the doubleheader Monday Night Football that no one's going to watch. So
he literally took to Instagram today.
He'll be there.
All right. I'm just saying, when you at the Raiders publicly and say, "Devil is a lie, everyone's got to pay this year," it sounds like he's going to go to Gruden's house and murder his wife. That's some very dark stuff.
Do you guys ever judge professional athletes based on their hair?
Of course.
So I look at Brandon Ingram in basketball, former Laker, now Pelican. He could never be a superstar because his hair stunk.
Yep, with you.
Antonio Brown, when his hair became bananas and those dreadlocks, I said, this guy is off his rocker. He went off his rocker last year. Then he went to the Raiders. He shaved his head. But if you realize what he did, he only shaved the top of his head. He did the modern-day mullet. It was business up front. He had
party
a
party in the back.
He's a party in the back, and he is bananas. And throughout Hard Knocks, I hope you guys have all been watching Hard Knocks.
Of course.
Throughout Hard Knocks, the ponytail has grown. It's bananas, and he's becoming more and more nuts as the hair continues to grow. It's insane to me. I don't understand how anybody – there's a direct correlation with an athlete's physical and up – I can't even think of the word.
Yes. No, they – whenever they have bad hair, they do not perform.
Thank you.
And please tell everyone, recently you saw Julio Jones. Please share with the room – and with all of our listeners, what his hair currently looks like.
I did. So I had the opportunity to meet Julio Jones a couple of weeks ago. I've met him a couple of times now. One of my oldest friends and dear, dear friends is Mohamed Sanu. And at Mohamed's birthday party a couple of weeks ago, I met Julio. And Julio is sporting a rat tail these days.
Rat tail.
I love Julio. He is one of the coolest dudes I've ever met. Just very nice to everybody. Quiet guy. But I saw the rat tail, and I just went in my head. Just it was like Julio Jones and JaVale McGee. And in your
it's
head.
It's that kind of rat tail?
It's that kind of rat tail.
Oh,
and
my God.
In your head, you never really make that correlation between Julio Jones and JaVale McGee. And when I saw it, I just texted Ben because I didn't know what else to do. And he was one of the nicest guys. So nice to me. So nice to Olivia. He loved Olivia. We were playing roulette with Julio Jones. It was a great time. It was fake roulette, by the way. Muhammad's birthday, they bought in fake casino games. They gave us fake Sanu dollars.
I never understood the thrill. What's the point?
Honestly, so much fun.
All right.
It was so much
fun. Just because I'm a degenerate. I can't do anything.
I understand.
I mean, yeah. It's I don't even know how we got from Antonio Brown to wherever. But if you want to take one silver lining in that, I guess it's sort of when you do something like tagging your team and, you know, talking about the holdouts and the effect it sort of has. I mean, I think like the main thing I want to dive in is what the Cowboys players are sort of thinking, what the coaches are thinking. I'm not sure what Zach's thinking. If you're in that locker room and your star running back comes back after, I think it was 41 days, literally, missed everything, didn't play a preseason game, like what's sort of the mindset there?
My assumption is that everybody's happy to see him because he knows he makes the team better, right? If you're a distraction, people are not happy to see you. the Cowboys as an organization thrive on dysfunction. That's what they've been forever in the Jerry Jones era.
Do they thrive? They thrive on dysfunction and lose.
Well, they've been the NFC has been very heavy. They're losers. And
are they not losers?
They're perennial playoff contenders.
They're perennial losers.
No, they're on the rise. I mean, this is sort of what we get into every week.
Their team is always on the rise.
This is Zeke's. Every time I do this, I can't remember. Is this his fourth season? The second one was cut short because of the suspension. He kept fighting. Dak's in his third season, I think.
No, they came in together.
Cooper's in his fourth season. There's a lot of money to be paid down the road, which I don't even want to get into. It'll make my head explode. I can only imagine.
That's
the
problem with Dallas. So one of my closest friends is a huge Dallas fan, and I text him literally daily, and I said, I have no idea how Dallas affords what they're doing. They just re-signed Lyle Collins yesterday before they re-signed Zeke. Right. They have Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, and Lyle Collins. Four of their five offensive linemen are the highest paid in their position. I can't compute that, right? Oh. And then you get Zeke, who's now the highest paid running back. You have Dak up. You have Amari Cooper. They just paid Jalen Smith, who's an absolute animal. They are going to have to play Van Der Esch, who's the rookie last year. Yeah. Was a monster. They have Byron Jones. They just paid DeMarcus Lawrence last year. I don't understand how this team is functioning.
I think that it's going to have to turn into a next man up type of thing where they groom these guys and they just keep cycling them in and out. I keep talking. I mean, the only thing that's weird is that then you go in and you pay Zeke when you'd think that if you're investing so much money in your O-line, that you're actually the type of organization that wouldn't pay Ezekiel Elliott. Right. You know what I mean? Like, if you're spending so much money on the O-line, you'd think that anyone could come in there and run.
Well, that was the thing. When they paid, the latest one was not Smith. Leon?
Lyle Collins.
Lyle Collins.
Monster.
I knew there was a little apostrophe in the name.
Yeah.
That's when we were like, well, what are you – there's a massive holdout with the best running back in the league. What are you doing? I think that's when we were sort of like, all right, they're going to pay the guys who they need up front, who have been reporting to camp, who aren't skipping out on time. I mean, they're getting it done, and down the rabbit hole with Cooper and Dak, I don't know how they're going to get it done.
So one of the – I didn't send this to you before, but one of the funniest things that I saw my buddy sent to me today, basically Jerry Jones owns $88.6 million of some stock that went public today of some company. By ringing the bell at the New York Stock Exchange, that stock went up over a dollar each share. So just by ringing the bell, he recouped Zeke's contract in a single day. It's one of the literally, I'm showing you guys the tweet live. Unfortunately, the listeners can't see.
No, we're going to put it on.
It's literally one of the craziest things I've ever read. And my buddy sent it to me this morning. And that's how I just knew. The NFL, the owners, the organization, it's all corrupt. Like, they all find way to just use the left pocket to pay the right. And that's what we're seeing here with the Cowboys. I mean, we all heard in I keep going back to basketball. I don't know why, because I'm a way bigger football guy than a basketball guy. But there was all these types of rumors when Durant went to the Warriors about how they paid the fucking guy in Bitcoin, right? We are now seeing how Jerry Jones just made his nut back in less than 24 hours. That happens all the time.
Yep.
It's crazy. It's one
of the corruption.
It's corrupt.
Speaking of corruption, what is going on with Melvin Gordon? And I say speaking of corruption because something's got to happen there. Either he's going to get traded... or he's going to stay.
Something's got to happen.
Something's got to happen. This is the stalemate that everybody was worried about in Dallas that is currently happening in Los Angeles. And it seems like they don't care if they have Melvin Gordon or not, because who is it? Eckler?
No, they have Austin Eckler.
So I think
they've got another guy, too.
And they have a sick O-line.
Yeah.
And they have a sick O-line. The only reason why Philip Rivers is not Eli Manning is because of the offensive line of the Chargers, that he can still walk and throw the ball down the field. So I think that they are all in on Eckler being the guy that can run between the tackles and the O-line holding up. And the question is, do we see a deal going down before the season starts? Or, I don't know, is Melvin Gordon just not going to play this year?
I mean, I don't know what exactly is going on. I remember, like, when no one had any idea what was going on with Zeke, like 3 weeks ago, was that they were $2 to $3 million away, or they were offering him 10 a year. But yeah, as we said, the problem is they've got Eckler, who they love. They've got Justin Jackson, who I think is maybe second or third year. I had him in fantasy at the end last year when Melvin Gordon went down with an injury. But I don't think it really matters. This is a team that got to the divisional round last year. I mean, they got spanked by the Pats because they didn't have Melvin Gordon. But they've got players returning on defense. They got Melvin Ingram. They got Joey Bosa. I mean, this defense could be the best defense. And as you said, they got Phillip Rivers, who's more than capable. And he's got weapons. He's got Keenan Allen. He's got Mike Williams. Hunter Henry coming off an ACL. And you got all those backup weapons. Like, Dallas just had everyone who's looking at Tony Pollard. And, like, you got to pick up Tony Pollard. But we've seen what Eckler and Jackson can do.
Is it Pollard or Pollard?
I couldn't tell.
I like the inflection like that you gave him.
P-O-L-L-A-R-D. Pollard. I think I'm in Europe right now. Everybody, all my friends who are in Mykonos and Ibiza, like, I'm just going to pretend I'm them.
So going forward, I'm calling him Tony Pollard.
Or it could be Poyard. It could be Chicken. Hispanic. We got to look Chicken. Into this.
Tony.
Maybe his real name's Antonio. You know, Antonio Pollard.
That's good.
Could be.
Antonio Chicken Pollard.
But I don't know if anybody else has really looked at this Chargers roster up and down, especially they did get embarrassed by the Pats in the playoffs.
Because it's the Pats. The Pats in the playoffs are going to embarrass you.
But the Chargers have a great core and a defense that really could be the best overall.
It's funny. The two of you, and I'm going to let you speak, Shapiro, on this. The two of you are the two biggest Keenan Allen fans on the planet.
Love him.
And I don't understand it because he consistently gets injured, and I never want to draft him. But both of you consistently tell me that I need to draft him, and then he gets injured.
So you hate people who get injured.
Yes. Injury-prone players, I hate drafting. You want to talk about Keenan Allen because we're talking about the Chargers?
Keenan Allen is a guy that literally just attracts 100 balls a year. I've never seen anything like this. The guy's hurt for 4 fucking games a year. It doesn't matter. He still finishes every year with 100 balls, 8 touchdowns, and 1,300 yards. It does not matter how injured he is. If you look at his stat lines, it's sickening. Whenever you watch the Chargers play, he's just open. It's like the defenses don't even care to guard him because he's just literally running up the middle of the field and just scampering around. He's a monster. I'll say for the Chargers as a whole, they're a very, very good team. I do think people are overestimating them for the first time in a long time. Derwin James, who's an absolute animal, probably the best safety we've seen come into the NFL since Sean Taylor, I'd honestly say.
I love that call.
He's hurt. And he's hurt
pretty
badly.
How many weeks is it?
They said he's going to be out at least 8 games. My guess is, I'm no doctor.
They're going to have to figure out someone at the secondary. And
they have a good backup safety, which I'm so deep into Madden 2020 already. I already know his name, Adrian Phillips. Monster.
By the way, does the game suck or is it great?
I just think you're not good at the game. The game
hasn't been good since 2000.
No, it got really good.
Maybe 2006.
This year, it's really good. Me and Shapiro played a couple of times.
Very good.
One time you couldn't tackle. The other time all you could do is tackle. All that I know is that I'm playing with Jared Goff because this is the new 4-year, $134 million man. Jesus Christ.
A lot of dough.
That Rams O-line really just stood up for him, let him sling the ball. The three top receivers. You have Todd Gurley, and all of a sudden, this guy's getting $30 million a year, $35 million a year.
35. With 110 guaranteed, which is the most a quarterback has ever gotten guaranteed, I guess anybody.
Here's a question. Here's the question. You take Jared Goff out of Sean McVay, and it's very hard to say because if you take Brady out of Belichick, it's the same argument. But you take Goff away from McVay, does anybody know his name? Because to this day, I still call him John Goff. I completely fuck it up. Every single time I think.
I thought you were going to say you pronounce his name like Joff or something.
No,
I didn't think you would actually get the full name wrong. He calls him John Goff. I don't know why, but he calls him John Gotti.
Here's the deal. Jared Goff is definitely not that good of a quarterback. He's a good quarterback. If you put up 3 points in the Super Bowl and all of a sudden you're getting $110 million guaranteed, it just means that him and McVay have really good rapport. They don't want to fuck anything up over there. He's the leader of their offense. Todd Gurley did not look good or healthy at the end of the year, and there are too many question marks going on with him. You just want to make sure that the ship is sailing in the right direction, and I think that starts with
Jared. I can show you where the ship is sailing because first year, the horrible Jeff Fisher operation that literally went down the tubes, he goes 0-7. McVay comes in. This is 2 years. 2 year sample size. 24-7. 24-7.
McVay is
21-7 with a 63% completion percentage, a total of 60 touchdowns, only 19 interceptions. I mean, there's your sample size. That's what they're going off of. And they do have the weapons. They got Kupp, they got Woods, and they've got Brandon Cooks.
And they have an unbelievable O-line, an unbelievable D-line, the best running back in football.
Look, we've seen this trend with these quarterback contracts. I mean, we spoke, I think it was 2 weeks ago or something. We couldn't even name who the top three were because the top 10 were all getting paid like $25 million a year. The quarterbacks are being taken care of, and I kind of love it because it's your commander-in-chief. You're going to go out there. You're going to order your troops to do what they got to do. It's on the QB.
I can't tell if this is the Andy Dalton deal of 3 years ago when I remember Andy Dalton got $100 and whatever million.
Yeah, he was in that top 10 list.
He was the highest paid quarterback for a hot second until I'm sure the Philip Rivers of the world jumped him and then the Eli's of the world jumped him. But I can't tell if this is an Andy Dalton deal or if this is a Tom Brady deal. We just don't know what Jared Goff is yet. And he's one of those guys, I agree with you, that the Rams are very scary team, very talented team, but we don't know what they are. And you mentioned their offensive line is great. They lost two of their five starters this year. So Saffold's in the Titans, and I have no idea what happened to their center, Sullivan. But there's questions. I mean, their defense, they lost a couple of guys. They replaced them with the Eric Weddles of the world. They're a talented team. Clay Matthews is now on the Rams. I'm just warning you for Sunday when all of a sudden you're like, hey, how the fuck did Clay Matthews get there?
Yeah. Totally.
He's now on the Rams. You're welcome.
Eric Berry, too.
Not yet. Eric, the fact that Eric Berry's unsigned the Wednesday before football.
Well, don't worry. They'll get it done. He'll fly back from, I think he's in Turks and Caicos and not Cabo.
I'm sure.
Everyone goes to their own Caribbean hideout.
I'm sure he's in great NFL shape. He's working hard.
How is Cabo this time of year?
It's lovely.
I heard it's gorgeous.
And actually, there could be hurricanes. I'm not sure.
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait. Oh, no. Sorry. What was getting destroyed?
Bahamas.
I mean, we're not.
Bahamas are crushed.
Bahamas. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, really.
Bahamas.
Really.
I did want to know how hot Cabo is this time of year because it's got to be like 95 or 100.
My favorite thing about every single time there's a natural disaster, hurricanes, et cetera, you see girls, they turn to Instagram, they post the picture of them, breasts out, picture in the. Nassau, Bahamas. Oh, please pray for the victims of the Bahamas. Please don't look at my tits. That's not at all what I'm trying to do here. Please, thoughts and prayers of the people of the Bahamas. We know what you're up to.
And we also know what the Rams are up to. They believe in Goff. I do agree with both of you that he has something to prove. It's not like a Tom Brady, signed, sealed, and delivered. But those numbers I rattled off a couple minutes ago, you take that with Sean McVay, who's going to be there until he dies probably.
He has a lifetime contract.
You speak about money. They will keep paying him overtime. He knows what he's doing. I'm excited for the Rams. You know, this is a team that got that lucky break. Three of us were watching that Saints-Rams playoff game. They got that break with the pass interference call. I can't even wait for that to come into effect. Challenging a pass interference call, which you are allowed to do now.
Yeah, thank God.
I mean, you like it?
Of course I like it. But quickly, before we digress, I just want to say that I think that Jared Goff is not that great of a quarterback. I think that currently he has top weapons everywhere. And I think that half the quarterbacks in the league would have done the exact same thing.
I will disagree. Yeah. How can you just say that?
Because
it's
I
a blanket
I,
statement. Half the that, quarterbacks?
I think that half the quarterbacks in his situation
could have made the Super Bowl.
He shouldn't have made the Super Bowl.
NFC Championship.
And that's where we can move. I'm not even letting you guys in.
NFC Championship.
That's exactly where we can move half to the new rule that you can challenge.
I bet you he couldn't even rattle off half the
interference calls. Thank God, I love it.
You do.
I love it. Yeah, because as a sport that, first of all, bettors, fantasy owners, there's a lot of money that goes into these games. And, I mean, even from the team side, you own a team, like season ticket holders, if something is black and white, it needs to be rectified. It's the same thing in the NBA. It's the equivalent of, if I fucking punch you in the face and the ref doesn't call a foul, I can't go and review it. I am a huge fan of being able to look at pass interference calls when they're blatant. I have a feeling that it's going to go a little too far and it'll get annoying, but at least we will be able to never have a situation like we had in Rams Saints, which was just awful. It was awful. Shapiro.
Here's my fear. My fear is that it's going to slow down the game. And I'm a big believer in the speed of the game happens to correlate with its popularity. One of the reasons I think baseball stinks is because the game takes forever. I'm very nervous that if you start to review pass interferences the same way that in college they reviewed targeting, which I think is bullshit because a lot of the times they don't think it's intentional. They make bullshit calls. It's going to slow down the game. I also agree with you that the Saints-Rams game, that was blatant. But I think the majority of calls, there's a shade of gray there. And I think it's actually going to screw the better. I think it's going to screw the fantasy player. I'm a fan of being able to right the ship and have this in place, but I'm very curious to see how it plays out because if it prolongs your game from 3 hours to 4.5, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And I don't know what – I've only seen a couple challenges in preseason. The fact that I'm watching preseason
Oh, you've
football,
seen one already? Because I haven't
seen,
yet. Okay.
I've seen one too.
Yeah.
I've seen like two or three, and Olivia's looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing watching preseason
football? No. I said that to Ben, but
– Yeah, and I said, listen, it's the new year. It's okay.
Yeah.
But – I've seen a couple. It doesn't necessarily kill the game, but when you get into the full tilt and the full speed of regular season, it could be a problem.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought up the gray area, and I'm happy you brought up this basketball example, which I've never even heard of, someone punching the face. The basketball example I was going to bring up, and which you can't – I don't think there's a better analogy, is the block charge call, which a lot of the time is subjective. It's an on-the-spot call. Sometimes the NBA has sort of adopted this whole NFL, let's all bunch of refs huddle together, see if we got it right. And that has happened. And I think some of the time they got it right, it just depends who's there, who's watching it. My whole thing is you have a snap decision. You got to throw that flag or you don't. And sometimes there's like you get the home crowd call, everyone boos. But it is a gray area. And the basketball example I can best choose is block charge. And the best part is you got to call it right away. And either you saw it, you didn't see it. The thing is with sometimes pass interference, it's going both ways. Sometimes the receiver's pushing off, then the corner, the safety comes in, the linebacker, whoever it
and
is.
And it's ref's discretion.
Right.
So that's the difference. The block charge call, we've never seen somebody run up to a guy and kick him in the nuts and it not be called. No, but I'm saying this just happened.
That's completely different.
This just happened where it was the most blatant pass interference call I think anyone has ever seen, and it was not called.
Okay, so, but kicking in the nuts, you would get thrown out of a game and suspended probably for the season.
He should have been thrown out of the game.
He should not have been thrown out of the game.
It was targeting.
It was not targeting. Targeting either. You even know what targeting is.
Yeah, targeting the nuts. Are you nuts?
Helmet to helmet.
It was
helmet to nut.
It was just
nuts?
No, I was giving the nut example.
It was a horribly defended play. I agree with you. And he literally tackled him, which is what you do in football. The kicking of the nuts thing, I'm not even going to get into.
What Victor just pulled up, though, is something that I don't think a lot of us have thought about, right? We've thought about the defensive scenario where the defense is clearly interfering with the defense is clearly interfering with the offense, right? But I think the other side of this, which nobody has, at least I haven't heard a lot of people talk about, is on the offensive side, if you're a receiver, you get a big 60-yard catch. That's also now reviewable if you throw down a defensive back. Whereas before, you had the Michael Thomases, the Julios, the DeAndres, these guys that are just specimens that are bigger than anybody that's covering them, throw them down. And there's a lot of points in that. There's a lot of yards in that. I'm really curious to actually see the inverse of this, which is the offensive angle. I love the fact that they took some – this had to happen because there was too much power in Goodell, right? Everybody was talking about how Goodell and the refs and they dictate the game, blah, 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 blah. This had to happen because they had to take some level of power away, in my opinion. But I actually don't know how this is going to play. And I'm of two sides. I don't even have a definitive yes, do this, no, don't. I'm just very curious to see the test this season and see how it plays out.
Switching gears, I want to dive into some predictions. Season-long awards. The season hasn't started yet. We're going to be doing this every week. And so I'm sure that we go down the list and we'll find out how wrong we were at the end of the
year. For God's sakes, I can't have you saying what your MVP is and switching it every week and saying from one of the 10 guys I picked.
Yep, so I'm going to be on record now. Shapiro, we'll start with you. Who is your MVP? We're going to make this rapid fire.
So I think the MVP of the league this year is Tom Brady.
Great. Victor.
I mean, I'm going to pick one of the guys we've been speaking about today. I really think it's going to be Ezekiel Elliott. I think he comes back a man possessed, runs about 2,000, maybe 2,500 yards, goes for the record. Ben, who you got dialed up? Drew Brees or Patrick Mahomes?
Going back to back. Mahomes. He's going to throw for 50 touchdowns again.
Again?
He's a freak.
We were watching this video before where Mohamed Sanu threw 71 yards and the only guy – there were two guys that beat him. One was Patrick Mahomes who can throw the ball 85 yards.
Tell me the other guy's Jared Goff.
Who was the other guy?
You know who the other guy was? Joe Flacco, 77 yards.
Hey!
85 yards.
An elite quarterback.
That is a man possessed. All right, we'll go back in the other direction. Victor, defensive player of the year.
I say it's going to be Joey Bosa. He's going to have a full season's worth of work with him. That Chargers defense, I'm so freaking scared. Maybe him or Ingram. I'll give you one of the two just because I think it's someone from the Chargers.
Shapiro.
I am going to be lame, and I think Aaron Donald. I think what we see Aaron Donald do on a year-in and year-out basis is absolutely ridiculous. The guy just dominates the interior line, the outside. He can provide pass rush. He can stop the run. Anything the guy wants to do, and the Rams are going to be a very good team again.
I mean, it's a great pick.
I'm going to say something. It might be a little crazy. I think that it is Jadeveon Clowney.
It's not a bad pick.
I think that the Seattle Seahawks will be the best defense in the NFL and that Clowney has something to prove. God. And
you're stuck in a time warp here?
No.
The Legion of Boom is dead, sir.
No, it's not.
What nobody's talking about is Clowney and Ezekiel Ansah. All of a sudden, Seattle went back to one of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
And they re-signed Wagner. They got Wagner.
So. Yeah, they have Wagner.
They just lost everybody else who we love.
No, they have KJ Wright. They have a bunch of really good guys on the team.
Earl Thomas isn't there anymore.
Earl Thomas is in Baltimore, but they have the guys that they have replacing him, McDougal, and I forgot the other free safety.
Okay. I like that monster. Pick. I like that. I thought you were just going to say Khalil Mack, and I was gonna be like, okay, we got two boring picks here.
No, I'm on Clowney. Let's go back in the other direction. Rookie of the year, Shapiro.
Oof. I think rookie of the year is probably going to be Kyler Murray, but it's a cop-out, right? Like, I don't even like Kyler Murray's game, to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to translate very well to the NFL. But I think that he's just going to accumulate enough stats to be able to collect it.
Vic.
It's sort of a tough draw this year. I mean, I'm not really sure. I'd like to say a quarterback, but I guess it's really only Murray.
Don't disrespect Daniel Jones like that.
No, I'm not going to, but I can't see Daniel Jones getting snaps.
No,
reps.
Haskins is going to get snaps.
I'll say Jacobs and the Raiders somehow, if this Raiders can somehow scrap out like 6 to 7 wins, I'll say Josh Jacobs.
That is a horrible pick.
He's a first round running back.
It's not a terrible pick.
I mean, he's first rounder. He's going to get touches.
By the way, it's only a good pick
because I drafted Josh Jacobs way too high in fantasy.
Well, no, there's a crazy stat that if you're drafted in the first round as a running back, you will automatically, like, they average like 20 touches a game. Basically, they use them if they draft him in the first round.
Yeah.
That's my line.
I'm going on the defensive side. I think that Jared Allen.
Josh Allen.
Who did I say?
Jared Allen.
Thank you. Josh Allen of the Jacksonville Jaguars is the rookie of the year. I think that
it's a good pick.
I said that Seattle would be the best defense in football. I think that it's going to be pretty close with the Jaguars. I think that he provides a pass rush that they've been missing. Back around. Coach of the year, Victor.
You know, apparently I'm just freaking high on the Chargers. I'm going to say Anthony Lynn. I think they get in this year as I mean, we're going to get – I don't even want to go down the road of how they're going to finish. I think the Chargers get double-digit wins again. Anthony Lynn gets it done. Hey, granted, you got to go into Chiefs, but I think they'll have a really good showing this year. I'm high on Los Angeles.
Shapiro.
San Diego.
I'm incredibly biased. However, I think it's Dan Quinn. I think Atlanta is back.
Oh, Dan Quinn.
I think they are. So here's the thing with Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn.
Listen, I picked the safe pick with Aaron Donald in Defensive Player of the Year. Dan Quinn is either the coach of the year or he gets fired. There's literally no in between with Dan Quinn.
I do like, especially because they didn't make the playoffs last year.
So they didn't make the playoffs last year. They're finally healthy. They have the full breath. They rebuilt the offensive line.
Can he shake that Super Bowl 28-3 collapse?
That one still stings. In my heart,
because I hate him since then.
Doesn't sting in my heart.
I mean,
I just don't like him as a coach. But
Patriots
that's your
second
pick.
Half,
respect
go Pats, go.
Go Pats, respect go. It. Ben, who do you got?
I have Mike Tomlin. I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are the most underrated team in football. I think that I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now that the line dictates what this team will do. Their O line is still good. Their D line is still good. It's still very difficult to play in Pittsburgh. I think that James Conner, Shapiro, you also call him John Conner. You have a problem with the Jays. James Conner is going to have a great year. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be a fucking machine. Ben Roethlisberger will reinvent another great wide receiver. We don't know who it's going to be yet. And I think that they win the division. And I think that if you beat the Browns and the Ravens. It's a very competitive division. If you win the division, you'll win Coach of the Year. So I'm going to go with Tomlin. Shapiro, to you, comeback player of the year.
There's no doubt it's Odell Beckham. And I'm an Odell apologist. I love Odell. I was heartbroken the day that Odell got traded from the Browns. I remember texting you, Ben, just defeated. Yep. It was a horrible, horrible day when he left the Giants and got traded.
That was just so sad. I don't want to harp on that, but it's like your team fucking sucks. You have one guy. It was like when Porzingis was traded away from the Knicks. It's the same thing. It's like, we're not good anyway. At least let us have one superstar that we can root for.
To be fair, the Giants had two. They had three, really. They had Odell, they have Saquon, and then Eli. Is just
oh, please.
Leave Eli alone.
Oh,
I'm an apologist there.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, you want to talk about what else was in that video of Sanu?
55
Victor,
yards.
Are you ready for this? You know who threw the shortest ball in the NFL?
Eli Manning, 55 yards. God bless.
20 yards shorter than Muhammad Sanu. Was Eli Manning.
I have a question. Can you be comeback player of the year even if you just didn't play, like if you weren't injured?
No, Odell was injured.
Was he?
He was injured, yeah.
He was injured.
I was just thinking about guys. Yeah. Because the guy I'm gonna talk about is a holdout
who
guy.
Who is it? Tell me.
It's Le'Veon Bell. This is a Jets hometown pick. In case you didn't know, I'm a Jets fan. These Giants fans, I can't stand them sitting with me. Le'Veon Bell, he is, quote, "I want you to hit me. I'm ready for hits." This guy wants to put on a show in MetLife Stadium every single Sunday that he's there.
Have you seen pictures of him?
Looks great.
It's insane. Everybody talk about
shredded,
how he hasn't been hit in 2 years.
He's ready.
And I looked at a picture of him. He is shredded. Everybody was saying that he's fat and out of shape.
I think the year off is almost great because we always talk about like running backs.
I completely
shortest
agree.
Longevity. And by the time you hit 30, you're over the hill. He is ready to go. And he had a year off. No hits. No contact.
Agree.
I don't think there's any rust.
The Jets have way too much talent on that team, but they're going to fuck it up.
And he's going to run like a man possessed. Ben?
We all suffer from recency bias, all of us. And while I'm in agreement with Shapiro that if you have a bad haircut, you're not going to be successful, Julio Jones is the best wide receiver in football, and he's going to prove it this year. He did not prove it last year.
Is he a comeback player?
No.
Why?
No.
Comeback, I think comeback means like you didn't.
Julio was a top three
comeback means
receiver
like,
last comeback year.
He didn't catch touchdowns.
I would love to know
he
like the definition.
He caught the least touchdowns in the history of.
But he played. It was just that Calvin Ridley was getting everything. That was the thing.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
He
didn't have a touchdown.
Oh, it can't just. Comeback player of the year can't just be you had an off year. You have a better
Maybe,
year.
I don't know. Can we get a definition of what comeback player?
No,
like,
fine.
By the way, I
thought you were going to go with your boy.
How many touchdowns did he have?
By the way, in a down year, Julio had 8 touchdowns.
That's what I'm saying. But that's a down year for Julio Jones.
No,
right.
That was the thing. People were like, it's week 8. He hasn't had touchdowns. I thought you were going to go with your boy Carson Wentz. I'm shocked.
By the way, I'm not on the Eagles right now. No, fine. So,
right now. You hear that, people? Right now. Wait till they're going to the playoffs.
When Ben showed up to that Super Bowl party, With the Eagles dog shirt.
And remind you 2 weeks before that it was a Blake Bortles jersey.
Which
what,
I still have.
Was it Blake Bortles?
Bortles.
You
Bortles.
Do not have that.
Of course I did.
No, of course.
I already wrote Foles on it.
When I saw that at that party that we had, I was so sick to my stomach. I didn't talk for the entire party. It was horrible.
Have you seen his Raiders closet? He's got like 3 different Raiders shirts.
He has 2 Raiders shirts. And by the way, they're both like Old Navy.
Do you have 2 Raiders shirts?
I mean,
I'm going to have more of them. I'm going and buying more. Fine.
Who even has 2 Raiders shirts?
So fine. Comeback player of the year needs to be somebody that didn't play last year
or
played
injured.
Limited and is going to have a great year. So I'm going to go with Antonio Brown.
No. What? No, he's still at 100 catches.
Jesus, I don't understand the definition.
It's not about guys who like have been like shat on in the media.
Why?
And like everyone hates them. It's your actual numbers. Like, Andrew Luck got it 2 years ago because he was injured the whole year, and then he was incredible and led them to the playoffs last year. That's why he got
it. So somebody who we completely forgot about.
Just think of injuries.
Fine, A.J. Green. Can
yes,
I go with A.J. Green?
Yes, there you go.
Okay, I'll go with A.J.
Green.
And he's got some ground to make up.
If A.J. Green wins comeback player of the year, coming back in week 8, that would be a miracle.
I thought it was
week
4.
See, here's the thing, and we kept getting confused with this.
I think it's
week
4.
It was 8 weeks from when he got hurt, so best case scenario is he's ready week 4.
Week 4.
Yeah. I don't believe it.
But by the way, that's a lot of ground. That would really be a comeback player of the year.
But to
if
be honest,
you missed the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, but I understand the definition.
Now you
that's
understand.
Why I'm saying comeback player of the year.
With Andy Dalton as your quarterback, it's basically like coming back week 8. Like you're basically just
he's
gifted
had
4
good
weeks.
Years with Dalton.
He's a schmuck.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not a Dalton fan either, but he's had good years. The sample size is there.
Andy Dalton is a schmuck. They're going to be at the dumpster of that division. But while we're talking about divisions, I want to move away from the individual player awards and go to division winners. Let's start with the AFC East. Shapiro, I'll throw it to you. Who wins the AFC East?
I don't even know why this is a
question. This is a clean sweep.
Should we just go to the AFC North?
Yeah, we'll say it on three. One, two, three. Pats. AFC North. Shapiro, beginning with you. This is an interesting division.
Yeah, this is actually one of the most interesting divisions in football. I'm going to give it to the Steelers because I don't think the Browns and a man named Freddie Kitchens is ready to win the division. I think the Browns.
His name is Freddie Kitchens?
His name is Freddie Kitchens. And if you've seen pictures of him, he's basically like Rex and Rob Ryan in the making. He just has a belly that.
Legend.
He's a belly that would impress us.
And his name is Kitchens?
It's insane.
Wow, legend.
For precisely that reason, and for the love of God, I can't stand John Harbaugh, I'm going with the Cleveland Browns. Baker Mayfield, no sophomore slump Baker. There. You got OBJ, you got Jarvis Landry, you got everybody. Defense is supposed to be underratedly top five. They're ready to rock. I mean, if Ben is choosing Mike Tomlin, you got to think he loves the Steelers this year. But let's see what he says.
I just don't believe when the Browns are hyped up that they are going to ever live up to the hype. I remember, I think it was last year, the over-under for wins was at 8. And it's just like...
That was the Mayfield hype.
Yeah, no, and it's great hype. It's OBJ hype. Like they
Jarvis
are,
Landry.
Yeah, and you have
Nick Chubb in his second year
and Kareem Hunt.
And a stifling
whenever
defense.
Whenever he comes back, is that next year? Is he out for the whole year?
God, it makes you think they're winning the Super Bowl.
All that I know is that whenever the Browns are hyped up, they shouldn't be the same way that the Knicks randomly for one second over the summer were. Like 6-1 to win the championship because it was a lock. Durant and Kyrie were coming.
Gotta slip in the Knicks wherever you can.
Yeah, I just don't believe the hype. I think that it's going to be really tight between the Steelers and the Ravens.
The Ravens lost their entire team.
They just have Ingram, and he loves
Lamar Jackson.
I'm really
high on
Lamar
Jackson.
But
if you think Mike Tomlin's winning coach of the year.
No, they're winning. I'm saying the Steelers are winning the division. Okay. I'm just saying I think that the Ravens are going to be good.
The Ravens didn't even tell Lamar Jackson they were changing the offense. If you believe in a quarterback,
worry,
if you draft him in the first round,
I'll be fine.
Would you like to say?
I can't stand John Harbaugh, so I hate them already.
We'll take this offline.
They
because
do have a great
I'm going to put a serious bet that the Ravens stink.
No, I'm saying I don't like them.
How many games do you think they win?
I'm just saying I don't like them.
How many games
but they have
they
weapons.
I want to know what their over-under is, because if it's under 9, I'm taking it.
I think it's probably at about 9.
I don't understand.
You don't think that there are 500 teams?
If you don't tell the quarterback, the future of your franchise, the second-year player, hey, I'm changing the offense, you should probably be aware of this, he just shows up to minicamp, that's fucking weird.
It was weird. It was a weird move. But we digress. AFC South. Victor, who wins that division?
I think I said the Texans last week. I'm sticking with the Texans. Loser!
Shapiro.
I'm going to double down. I'm sticking with the Texans.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jacksonville! We're here!
You have a fan in New York. You're one fan.
They were so, so, so close to beating the New England Patriots Blake Bortles. Now you have Nick Foles, who on record last week, Shapiro, I don't know if you heard this, it was a little bit blasphemy. It was a touch blasphemous. I said that Nick Foles is going to be a Hall of Famer.
I can't even have it. I can't have my reaction again.
Are you nuts?
No. Thank you. That was my reaction.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
There's debate if Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. Eli Manning is
dumb.
No. Eli Manning has won 2 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl MVPs, top 10 in every single category.
He's in.
There is rage about if this man makes the Hall of Fame.
He's in. Nick Foles is going to win another championship.
Nick Foles is going to win another championship,
and he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Not in this lifetime.
He was on the Jeff Fisher Rams.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher cut him in favor of Case Keenum.
That just tells you Jeff Fisher's a fucking moron. It doesn't tell you that Nick Foles isn't
the fucking
truth. By the
way, I never thought I'd see the day where Jeff Fisher gets mentioned twice on this podcast.
Nick Foles
in the same episode
is the truth. AFC West, Shapiro.
I think it's the Chargers. I agree with Vic. I think the Chiefs are in for a little bit of a down year. I think that because I made a lifetime bet against the Chiefs with one of my buddies. I just don't think Andy Reid is capable of going that extra mile. I think he's capable of getting there but not winning. I think the Chargers are a problem. I think they are loaded from top to bottom. You get Derwin James back halfway through the season. They're a problem.
I know they're in Los Angeles now, but... San Diego, Superchargers. They're doing it this year.
Okay, you're both...
Number 2 seed also. I'm going to go that far.
Cool, you're both nuts. The Kansas City Chiefs are winning the division. The one quick shout-out that I will say is that the Denver Broncos will surprise people this year. I think that they win at least 9 games.
Joe Flacco.
Who's the Denver Broncos coach? Is it Vic Fangio?
I don't know who it is.
I have no idea. But Flacco and Lindsay is just appealing to me.
Flacco is appealing to you?
He's more appealing to me than Denver's had in a long time. And Denver's always a scary place to play.
No, he's not.
I like Joe Flacco.
He's not.
Can you imagine? Think about how far he could throw in Baltimore. Imagine it mile high.
Goodness. For the listeners, Ben and I have a draft in about 30 minutes coming after this. If he even whispers the name Joe Flacco, I'm taking the team.
I'm not. We're all about Goff. We're always on the Goff
train. I love Johnny Goff.
Wait. Now he's on the Goff train?
I'm always on the Goff
train. You're all over the place.
He loves Johnny Goff.
I'd pick anyone who's
Johnny. He loves Johnny Goff. Not Jared Goff. Johnny Goff.
Boys, the segment's too long. Moving on. NFC East, rapid fire.
Cowboys.
Victor.
Let's rock, baby. Cowboys.
Cowboys. I fucking hate the Eagles. How boring. And I don't think that they're good. Very boring. Back around. NFC North. This one's fun.
This one is fun. And I think the... God damn. I think the Bears get it done again. Trubisky in his second year with the boys. I think they get it done again.
We need to stay away from each other on Sunday because we're two in lockstep right now. I think the Bears are... The pick here.
The defense speaks for itself.
The Bears are the pick here, but I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings.
I love that.
Yeah, but you have Kirk the Jerk.
That's what I'm saying. If I could take, under my rules, comeback player of the year, when you had a horrible year, but you still played.
They actually didn't have a horrible year.
No. Kirk Cousins.
By the way, Dalvin Cook's the big key there. He's healthy.
I'm saying Kirk Cousins played like dog shit. The guy sucked. And if he sucks again this year,
Wait, what was their record? I think they were around, they were hovering 500.
Yeah, that team wasn't supposed to
hover 500. Look at this division. I mean, we're discounting the Packers. Yeah. The Lions, you can forget about. They're down the tubes.
Yeah, Packers are gone too. NFC South, back
Matt
around.
LaFleur.
Shapiro.
Falcons, no doubt.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a crazy no doubt.
No, that is a wild no doubt.
Doubt. No doubt, no okay. doubt.
I think the Panthers do squeeze in as the wild card, but I'm going to take the New Orleans Saints.
I, too, am taking the New Orleans Saints. I think that the Falcons do make the playoffs, though. Back around, last one, NFC West.
Another no doubt. This is the Rams by
mile. This is Rams all
around. I don't even know why we whispered this.
Because I love Seattle.
Yeah, but this is.
I think Seattle can win 12 games this year.
Yeah, a lot of people can do this. All goes back to my Amrata theory. You know, you can do anything. It's not going to happen. 12 games? They've got one healthy wide receiver right now.
Yeah, you got Russell Wilson and a motivated defense.
Oh, my God. This is the same guy who always tells me, forget about Seattle.
Yeah.
They're overrated.
No,
they're over the hill.
By the way, it's the two of you again. The two of you are always in lockstep. Russell Wilson is not a good fantasy quarterback.
No, he is a good fantasy quarterback because he can run.
See, ew!
By the way, you're just setting us up on a silver platter right now.
We had Russell Wilson last year.
And he sucked.
We had
That's why we had Goff.
We had Russell Wilson and Johnny Goff. Yes. We had Russell Wilson and Johnny Goff in a high-stakes league, and we debated every single week. And, Vic, we were wrong for all six
Seattle 12. 12 wins. I can't even.
Every single week.
I can't even.
I think that they're that.
I just say something to get my mind off of that because I don't even know what just came out of your mouth.
I want to go through a couple of key matchups. Week one. Predictions again, beginning with Thursday night football. We're going to do who covers the spread, who hits, is it over or under? Shapiro, we'll start with you. Thursday night football, Packers, Bears, who you got?
The Bears is the easiest pick here.
And over under?
I hate over unders. You're a big fan of, like, I think they're going to cover the...
You got to do it.
Yeah, you got to do it.
This is what we do here.
I'm an under guy.
Okay, Bears -3 in the under for Shapiro. Victor.
Here's my problem. If the line moves to 3.5... I kind of want the Packers with the hook.
I do too.
Just because it's the first game, I think the Bears
will
win.
It's 3, and we're on the clock.
3? I mean, then you're pushing, I guess.
3,
I mean, what are we doing
on the clock. Who do you think has a better chance of covering?
Yeah, screw it. Maybe the Packers surprise everybody. Packers +3 in the under.
I say, I'm going to tell you exactly how this game's going to go. The Bears are going to be up big at the half. Packers are going to come storming back.
All right, Chris Berman, if I wanted a rundown.
Packers +3 in the over.
Over?
Sunday, yeah.
Hello.
Because of a crazy second half. Falcons, Vikings, Vic, Vikings -4, over under 47.5. Who you got?
I love the Vikings to just run away with this one. Over, though. I think Cousins will let it fly. Diggs, Thielen, Cook, the boys.
Biased as hell. I want my Falcons with points.
My Falcons. You got to just move down to Atlanta.
Oh, first of all, I was
Eat Chick-fil-A every day.
I was there last weekend. Phenomenal.
Except Sundays.
Great town. Falcons with points. You have Mohamed Sanu 2 touchdowns. Why not?
We love that Sanu
pick. I love it. I am definitely taking the Falcons with the points. I do not trust Kirk Cousins yet. I hope that I can grow to trust him.
Comeback player of the year.
Because I said that I hope that he has a good year. But as of last year, I did not like what I saw. And I like the under. I like the Falcons defense to show that they are better than they were last year. Back to you, Shapiro. Rams, Panthers. At the Panthers, Rams minus -2, over under 49.5.
I'm a favorites guy. I love the Rams here. 2.5 is, I think that's the easiest bet of the weekend, to be honest with you. I think they win by a million.
Vic.
I do love the Panthers here, but I think you'll see it as the season comes around. I like the Rams minus -2.5.
The Rams are hurt. And God, the Panthers are hurt.
That's fine. Cam Newton's ready to rock. I chose the Rams. Hello. I chose the Rams.
No, you chose the Panthers.
No, I said no, I chose.
He's saying that he likes them. I think the whirling dervish for no reason.
Like the Panthers,
I love the Panthers.
Will hit their stride.
We can't hang out on Sundays.
The Panthers will hit their stride, but I think Rams minus -2.5, safe pick for you bettors out there. Yeah. I think as good as we've been praising the Rams defense, I think it's going to be a lot of points here. I'll take the over. It's one of the highest totals of the week, but goddamn, 49.5. Let's rock and roll. Let's see some points.
I'm going Rams and the under in a really, really bad loss for the Panthers. I think that the Rams win.
What is
something.
Really bad?
I think 35-10.
All right,
something
what,
like
what
that.
What do you?
I think the Panthers are horrible. Everybody's
just wait.
McCaffrey.
Cam Newton.
I like him, but I just need to see that he's healthy. And if there's any defense that can make somebody that's not really healthy, really unhealthy.
The Panthers lost 3/5 of their offensive line.
You can't count out Riverboat Ron. Going for it on fourth down.
I just want to
all
know,
the time.
I just want to know where
with those rimless
tans.
Cartier
where,
glasses.
Where does he tan? What tanning?
I don't know. Where does he get those rimless Cartier eyeglasses that convert to sunglasses? You know those people who wear those glasses?
He has hold on. He has Cartier transition lenses?
Oh, yeah.
They
and rimless. Rimless.
God bless. I had no idea.
It's the subtleties. It's one of the dumber things that I will notice on a sideline, but I'll notice them.
I'll notice every coach's watches in the NFL. I've never noticed frames.
Always.
Ever.
Do you guys know the Ron Rivera lookalike at Madison Square Garden? There is one usher at Madison Square Garden that has the same transitions, same tan. I'm telling you, it's Riverboat Ron.
We don't know because we don't waste money on Knicks tickets.
Wow.
Sadly.
Jesus.
I didn't go to one game last year.
Sorry, some of us.
How have the Knicks been brought up twice in an NFL Schwitz?
Because I'm here.
It's beyond me.
What can we do? Next, Steelers at Pats, 5.5, over under 50. I'm stealing this first because I have been saying for literally since the schedule came out.
You're stealing this first?
Yes, since the.
See what he did there?
Since the schedule came out, the Steelers plus 5.5. I think is the lock of the year.
He's been on this for weeks. The Pats don't cover in September.
The Pats don't cover in September. I think that they probably win because Tom Brady finds a way to win almost every game. But I think that the Steelers plus 5.5 is just too tasty. Vic, to you.
Sunday Night Football primetime, Foxborough. I know they got spanked by the Chiefs a couple years ago. But the Pats are taking this. You got Flash Gordon. You got James White. You got Sony Michel. On and on. Forget the Super Bowl hangover because if this was the Thursday night game, by the way, I would pick the Steelers. But because they're going to have that whole weekend to take everything in, tune in, NBC. What's it, Carrie Underwood? I can't wait for her to sing that song.
Waiting all Sunday night.
Pats minus 5.5 and the over. Ton of points. Fans at home.
Classic Joe.
Just
pick.
Sit back and enjoy.
All right, Joseph.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think it's going to be the Pats. However, I think it's going to be the under. I think the Steelers are not ready yet. I think they'll be ready in a couple weeks. I know you've been on the Steelers.
So what do you have, 35-10?
Something like
that. Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure.
I actually think it's less. I actually think it's like 21-7. I think it's a kind of boring game. Hopefully, Demaryius Thomas, 2 touchdowns. Big Demaryius Thomas guy this year. I love guys that just go to New England and are rebirthed.
Can he be the comeback player?
Demaryius Thomas can be the comeback
player. Great, I'm calling it again.
By the way, he was cut, then re-picked back up. Not
and
a great
technically,
pick
I guess Josh Gordon can be again Josh for Gordon the can eighth be. Year in a row.
I think Josh Gordon's going to get suspended for getting high again.
Flash.
But, I mean,
they still have Edelman.
I love Edelman.
I think you guys are crazy, but you'll come back to me.
I think that's a pass.
Moving on to the Monday Night Football doubleheader. I'm not sure I'm a fan of this, but it is what it is.
It gives Texans, people to watch something.
Yeah, 10-20 is too late. Whatever. Texans at the Saints. Saints minus 7, over under 52.5. Shapiro, to you.
I think it's the Saints, and they might cover 52.5 themselves. The Saints are a problem.
Yeah, I think this is the highest. It's got to be the highest total of the week. God damn, I'm at the Texans this year. I'll take plus 7 if you're a smart bettor. You shift that baby over to plus 7.5.
Yeah, and then you lose more money.
52.5. Go for the over. This is gonna be one of the better Monday night games to kick off week one we've seen in a while.
This is a very good game.
Ben?
I'm with Shapiro. I think that the Saints score a lot of points. I think the Texans score a lot of points too, but that the Saints cover 7 and over 52.5.
I think the Saints are pissed off. I've never heard, I've listened to a lot of
interviews. How about the Texans, though? You just lose Lamar Miller? They're playing for their boy. They're playing for their city. J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about J.J. Watt. It's comeback player of the year.
It's not there. It's not in Houston.
Sean Payton.
Someone's still playing for their city.
Oh. Sean Payton, Drew Brees, they've been on every publication since the loss to the Rams on the bullshit call that we've talked about already.
I agree with you.
The Saints are angry. Let's hear it in their voice.
Let's get to this bonus pick of the week, because we'll usually do 5, folks, but because it's a doubleheader, we're going to give you 6. Broncos, Raiders, 10:20 p.m. If you're still alive on a Monday night, you're trying to make your money back. Ben,
that's
the line is pick 'em, and it's an over-under of 43.
That's the equivalent of the Hawaii midnight special game.
Oh my God.
This is if you are down 5 racks and you need it all back, a pick 'em game Monday night, 10:20, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. This is so tough.
That's what I'm saying. It's painful to even pick this game.
This is such a hard game.
It is in Oakland.
I'm going with the Broncos and the under.
I'm going with the Broncos. I don't think it's that hard. I think the Broncos are actually a good team.
Yeah.
I do, too. It's just there's something about Gruden and Brown.
Gruden hasn't been good since 2003.
That Tampa Bay Bucs team was all time. I'm with you guys on the Broncos sweep here. I don't know what to make of the Raiders. I have no idea what is going on there. I feel like watching Hard Knocks made people more confused.
I watched Hard Knocks. I thought Keelan Doss was about to be a Hall of Famer. I almost drafted him in a league.
I don't know who, but I do love Philip Lindsay this year. He was fantastic last
year.
And our boy Joe Flacco, elite quarterback, maybe. Maybe not. I think Denver gets it done, and they have a leg up on everybody in that AFC West.
To conclude our show, I want to quickly discuss, we're all in the Schwitz Fantasy League. We did a friends and family because we're so community-oriented. We did a Schwitz Fantasy draft the other night. 8 teams, not a big league. And I just want to talk about each of you pick 2 people that you are really looking forward to this year that are on your teams that you think are going to surprise people. Shapiro, starting with you, 2 players.
I'm going to talk about 2 guys in the league.
Okay.
So for the draft, I had Ben and Zach over my house because 10 minutes before the draft, I thought me and Weinrib were splitting a team. Yep. Weinrib.
I moved everything back because I botched the draft.
And
people,
by the way,
we're now in an ESPN league instead of Yahoo. And if you know what we're talking about at home, the pain is deafening.
All good. Don't care about that. Zach Weinrib had no idea what the fuck he was doing. He kept asking me and Ben of why wasn't Baker Mayfield drafted? And I said he should probably get picked pretty soon. Weinrib would draft him. I said
he take Dak Prescott also?
He was a snake. He'd hear the pick and pick him.
Feeding this guy. If you look at his
team. Wait, so you're only watching guys on.
So
on
the guy that I'm watching in our league is my brother-in-law, who I love dearly. Zach Weinrib has never played fantasy football. He goes, I don't even want to manage the team.
Who's the big horse that you're looking at on his team?
His team is stacked. He named it Queen Olivia because before the draft, he said, Olivia, I'm giving you the team so you can manage it.
He didn't even want to run it, and I think he has the best team.
Bananas. His team is bananas. On my team, personally,
yep.
I lucked out. I got Saquon and I got Todd Gurley. It's going to be very hard to beat my team.
Yeah, those are
Yeah, I do want to see what Gurley looks like with the reps. My 2 guys... I mean, I guess maybe for this week, you just do guys on our own teams.
Two on your own team.
I really want to see what Hunter Henry looks like coming off the ACL surgery. I've got this guy in literally 4 leagues at this point. His numbers per target ratio with catch and yards are through the roof in the small sample size because he's only been in the league a couple years. And then I really want to see – I got – Nick Chubb fell to me, and in most leagues, he was going, you say ugh, but it was third round, so I had to.
Ugh.
Give it to me one more time.
Ugh.
Okay. Chubb's like been going. I don't know if you've noticed early. He's been going by like the 10th pick off the board.
He's a great
and I
player.
Loved him at Georgia. You can never forget that Oklahoma Rose Bowl. I don't know if it was Rose Bowl.
I don't trust guys.
I just want to see what the offense looks like when you couple Landry and Odell and you have him in the
and
backfield.
Chubb and Njoku.
I hope they run some kind of option trick play. Freddie Kitchens, how you doing?
I don't trust guys. How you doing? How you been doing?
Freddie? So, Freddie the kitchen cleaner, they
I don't trust guys that split time in college. And Nick Chubb split time with Sony Michel. And there was a third guy there who I'm completely forgetting right now.
Go Dogs.
He was also a first-round pick.
I'm just excited to see anybody in that Cleveland offense. Ben, who are your two boys?
Number one, this should have been another comeback player of the year. Jesus Christ. I'm excited to see what Leonard Fournette does.
Oh my God, he played.
He was injured half the year.
Oh my God.
I can't say Leonard Fournette.
I mean, I hate Leonard.
I actually do want to see. I agree with you that that's the guy to watch out for.
I have Julio Jones. I have Michael Thomas.
All right, you eliminate the two here.
No, but I'm saying I'm excited because I think that I drafted the best tight end statistically in football this year, and that is Njoku.
Jesus.
Oh, wow. I thought for a second
off,
you had
off the rails. No.
You know there's
the
one football in Cleveland.
Everyone loves Cleveland.
Off the rails. I know.
I didn't even say Njoku this whole time.
It's because to your point about how they have so many guys – I think that they're just going to forget about Njoku. He's a huge frame. I think he's this year's Ebron, and he's just going to catch a ton of touchdowns. No. I think he really surprises people, and I'm super, super excited for Njoku.
I'm going to have some trash talk going forward.
Oh, big.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
My guy this year is O.J. Howard. I have him in every league.
Every league!
I don't even know if I like him.
Roll Tide. I've got him in one league.
I've liked him since he was a freshman in college. I've been on this guy forever. And I've just kind of been drinking the Kool-Aid so much that I'm now an O.J. Howard guy. I've been an O.J. Howard guy for a while.
Yeah, and I think he stinks.
And you hate him. We have a draft in literally 30
minutes.
We're not
taking O.J. Howard.
2 years in. 2 years in. You never know.
We're not taking O.J. Howard. But I am super excited to, on this show, give you guys some updates on how we're doing after week one, who's winning, who's losing. I think it's going to be a super fun season and just really excited. Well, guys, thank you guys so much. That is our show, week one of NFL Schwitz. As always, you can follow us on Facebook at it's the Schwitzers private Facebook group. Really fun. Go in there. We talk about a lot of things. It's not only just football, but some surprise tailgates, some things that you're going to want to know about. So go to the Schwitzers and follow us there. You can always follow us at the Schwitz on Instagram. We're posting some pretty in real time updates and highlights, and it's a great place. We put our own spin on sports, and I really think that you guys would like it a lot. As always, to my right,
I'm Vic at VWeb.
Filling in for Jack to my left.
HereZach.com.
I'm Boy With No Job. Thank you guys so much.
We'll be here till the Super Bowl, baby.
Woo!